of eternal glory. This child is the light to enlighten the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. In Matthew chapter 17. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. This is the gospel of the Lord. Would you like to sit down? Father God, through the written word and the spoken word, may our eyes be open to the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Who of you can remember being a small child and being frightened of things in the night? At night, our familiar bedrooms can take on a completely different way of appearing. I remember being huddled in bed as a child, absolutely petrified at the thought of going to sleep, because outside the bedroom window was a huge orange streetlight. And as it shone through the curtains, the folds and the shadows that they highlighted looked like an army of men in black robes who were marching towards me to try and grab hold of me. It was truly frightening stuff. And that's the point, I think, at which anyone would be crying out for their mum. And imagine a small child frightened by a storm in the night. The thunder roars, the rain lashes against the window, and the shadows again seem to dance on the walls. But then arms wrap around them, and a familiar voice whispers, "It's all right, I'm here." The storm outside may still rage, but inside that embrace, inside the arms around you, there's peace. That's the image Isaiah gives us in today's reading. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. And today on Mothering Sunday, we're invited to reflect together on the deep, nurturing love of God, because God's love is tender, protective, and unshakable. And perhaps today we're also invited to see mothers and mothering figures a bit differently. Mothering Sunday, or Mother's Day, has its roots not only in honoring mothers, but also in the tradition of returning to your mother church during Lent. Mother's Day is a time of homecoming. It's a time of reconnecting with the place, but also with the people who've helped us to keep following our faith, and the mothers who've supported and cared for us throughout our lives. Today, we can say thank you to those who've mothered us. They don't need to be our birth mothers. A mother figure can be someone in our lives who's really cared for us, really shown us love when we've needed it, when we've been frightened and when we've needed those arms of love around us. But we can also say today a huge thank you to God, because all love comes from God in the first place. Everything that's good flows from God. And today is an opportunity to remember that and to say thank you to God for God's love to us. But also, today can be quite a difficult day for some. And we also think today of those who may have lost their mothers, those who haven't known the love of a mother, and those who may have found receiving some love that was shown by a mother figure to be actually quite difficult to hold on to. That chapter in Isaiah speaks to a people who know what it's like to live in hardship and exile. These are the Israelites who have been scattered. They're wounded, they're broken, they're weary, they're tired, exhausted. And into all of this desperation, God speaks some words of restoration. And to do that, through the prophet, God uses the picture of a mother both giving birth, but then holding her newborn baby close. Birth imagery can be really powerful. Verse 7, that reading begins, that before she goes into labor, she gives birth. There's a picture here of God's deliverance that's sudden, it's miraculous, it's life-giving. Reminds us that God's time is not bound by our human expectation. God works outside of time because God is God. And God works in ways that we don't always expect. And sometimes when God works, we're invited to see God differently, put our preconceived notions of what God is like to us aside. But as well as giving birth, a mother has to nurture as well. And that reflects the nurturing care that comes from God. Verse 12 says, "You will nurse and be covered, carried on her arm." It reminds us that God's love isn't distant, it's not abstract. It's not something that's out there and removed from us. God's love is close. Like a mother's love, God's love for us is intimate. It's personal, but it's also upholding. So today we can give thanks for mothers, grandmothers, foster mothers, adoptive mothers, godmothers, and all those people who've shown us love and care. But also we're reminded today that human love is a reflection of God's perfect love. God's love is ultimately perfect because God's love will never fail. God never gives up. God never lets go. And God gives us comfort. And as Isaiah speaks to God's people who were going through the storm, he speaks to that weary and discouraged group of people and gives them a promise that God's love is not just about rebuilding Jerusalem. God's love is all about restoring hearts. God's promise to us is one of love and nurture and comfort in grief. Just as a mother draws near when a child is hurting and grieving themselves, God draws near to us when we're in pain. God is never going to stand away at a distance and wait for us to pull ourselves together. Instead, God chooses to come close. God chooses to hold us, and God chooses to whisper peace into our hearts, to give us strength in weakness. The comforting sensation of a mother's loving arms around us isn't always going to completely remove the storm, but it does give us courage to face it. And God's presence and God's arms does exactly the same. So for some, today is a joyful day. It's full of flowers, cards, meetings, and happy memories. For others, Mothering Sunday can be bittersweet, even painful. Some grieve the loss of a mother, some carry the ache of wanting to be a mother, and some have got difficult or broken relationships. But the good news of Isaiah 66 is that God's comfort is for all of us. And it doesn't matter whatever our story or our background. God's arms are big enough, wide enough, huge enough to hold both our joy and our sorrow together as one. And it's important for us to notice that the comfort that God offers to us is not some kind of sentimental softness. God's love is strong, it's protective, it's life-giving. In verse 12, the prophet speaks of peace flowing like a river on Jerusalem, the wealth of nations being like a flooding stream. A stream waters the land. It allows crops to grow, plants to flourish. It indicates abundance, security, and provision, because that's what God is like. A love that flows and provides. And for anyone who's been told off by a mother, you can think today that a mother's love is not just about gentle words. Sometimes those words can also indicate a fierce protection, about a mother standing between her child and danger. A mother sacrificing her own comfort for the sake of her child's well-being. And God's love is like that too. God's love is tender enough to soothe our fears, but God's love is strong enough to defend us from harm. And that sacrifice can also be there later on. Think of all those mothers who weep over their adult children. So Isaiah's vision is not only about receiving God's comfort, it's also about being channels of that comfort to others. In our families, we need to offer patience, encouragement, and forgiveness, even when that's hard. In our church, we're invited to create a community where people feel safe, they feel valued, and they feel loved. We're called to create a church where no one feels like an outsider. And beyond our churches in our world, we're invited to extend compassion to people who are lonely, people who are hurting, and people who've been forgotten about by others. Because Mothering Sunday is not just for mothers, it can also be a call for all of us. We see people differently, we will see and value the differences. God calls us to rise up as his people, to rejoice in that perfect love, to extend and share that love to others. But God also calls us to celebrate what motherhood is, see that wonderful love shown, but also rest in the eternal comfort of God. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.